of boldness. The concept of boldness is seldom expressed verbally in the Old Testament, but in Proverbs 28:1 states the righteous are bold like a lion. The word is bata. Their confidence is based upon an active trust in the Lord. That's the idea, an active trust and confidence in the Lord. Courage in the Old Testament isn't seen as an independent virtue. It's an inner strength. It's a determination that's inspired by God. And there's three different terms in root. There's three different word roots that carry this idea of boldness. One contains the idea of an element of daring, of action, to rise above fear. The second word denotes a confidence and a hope in God. The third one has the idea denoting speaking freely and boldly and unhindered, a trait of being willing to undertake activities that involve risk or danger, especially that involve being honest and straightforward in attitude and speech to your neighbor, to your relative, to the guy at the petrol station, to your postman. The disciples followed the example of their teacher, spoke openly and boldly and plainly. Over and over again in the book of Acts, we see on numerous occasions a great boldness in their speech. We'll see a little bit later that boldness is attributed to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Boldness comes as we ask God for it in prayer. But we as believers, as fully devoted followers, should be marked by a sense of boldness in every phase of our life. An absolute devoid of any self-confidence in ourselves, where we're fully aware of the finished work of Jesus Christ on our behalf and of his continual power and presence with us, and on his mighty promises. This concept of boldness, just like the word sin in the Old Testament, has 50 variations. Boldness has a number of variations and concepts. It's putting trust in something. It's putting a strong confidence or a reliance upon something. To take something as true. To be able to face and deal with danger or fear without flinching. These are all the different variations of that word. So let's look at Acts chapter 4 very quickly and briefly and see why they were confident to speak boldly. Why did they have a steely boldness in their lives and witness? Because they are confident in these six truths. We'll unpack that in just a second here. But let's read the text. But you remember, as Matthew said at the beginning, Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 4, what's going on? Peter and James and John going to a prayer meeting. They get waylaid because they heal a blind man, opportunity to give a speech, to share the gospel. They are again arrested. They are arrested, put in prison, brought out the next day. They give another speech. They are released. They go to their church. They go to their own people. They pray. God shakes the building, and they're unstoppable. Off they go. So Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. When they were released, Peter and John, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage? Why did the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So I propose that they were bold because of these six truths that they absolutely held confidently. They had a steely boldness in their life. One, they believed in an uncontested power. They were convinced that there is power in the name of the Lord. You see those passages listed on your sheet there. And they were also convinced in the power of the gospel of Jesus. I'm not going to read those passages, but look them up. But it's in the name of the Lord that this one is healed before you. It's in the name that he is stand healed before you. And then there's no other name by which we must be saved, given under heaven by mankind, which we must be saved. So they believed unequivocally that the power is in the name of Jesus and in the gospel. Gang, we too need to know these power sources, right? Nothing is impossible for him, the one through whom all things were made, and nothing was made that was made. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Power, power, that is power. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the gospel for salvation. We must believe it. We must boldly move forward with that. There should not be any question to be confident that because of that truth that they held, they move forward in that. Say with me, please, I am convinced that there is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Say with me, please, I am convinced that there is power in the gospel of Jesus.
That there is power in the gospel of Jesus.
How were they bold? How did they show this boldness? Well, they had the knowledge of an absolute authority. They were convinced and they were given this authority and mandate to fulfill the mission of Jesus Christ. Again, Matthew 28, you guys can read that. Acts 1:8. What about John 20, 19 through 23 there? On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them after his resurrection. And he said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. The disciples were overjoyed. They saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Receive the Holy Spirit. So on the authority given to us to fulfill his mission, they move forward. Say with me, I am convinced that I have the authority of Jesus to complete his mission. I'm confident of that. They were confident also of not only the uncontested power, the absolute authority, but Jesus is the sole Savior. Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven. They believe that unequivocally. 1 Peter 2. Who wants all people to be saved? We heard that earlier. To come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. They were convinced. They would believe that. Say with me, I am convinced that Jesus is the only way to heaven.
I am convinced that Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Amen. How did they show this boldness and display a steely boldness? They believed absolutely in communal support. Where did they go? They went to their own people. They went to their own people after they were released. They found support there. They were convinced and they knew that they could depend on the involvement of brothers and sisters with them in the common mission. On their release, Peter and John, they went to their own people and reported all that had happened. We saw in Acts chapter 2, the devoting themselves to one another, to the teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of the bread and prayer. And what about Peter when he was in prison, their prison break in Acts chapter 12? But the church was praying. Where did he go? He went to those people, didn't he? Please say with me, I'm convinced.
I'm convinced.
That the church, is God's support system.
Is God's support system
for accomplishing His plan.
For accomplishing His plan.
I am convinced.
I'm convinced
that the church is.
That the church is
God's support system.
God's support system
for accomplishing His plan.
His plan.
They believed in prayer. They were convinced and understood that prayer matters and God answers prayer. They went to the Lord. They asked for more power, more boldness, more demonstration so that they could tell others about this wonderful message. Luke loves the church. That's why we're studying the Unstoppable Church. He loved to talk about prayer. My thesis from London School of Theology was on the church's prayer life in the book of Acts and its expansion of the gospel. Places in the Acts of the Apostles, we see prayer, we see the advancement of the kingdom and the church all coming together and God doing some spectacular, marvelous things. It seems that Paul was teaching his readers to pray because prayer pleases God. Because no one can know God's will and experience God's guidance apart from that and His comfort from that. Prayer was an act of obedience in Acts. Prayer is a sign of faith and confidence in God. We see that here in Acts 4. A life of prayer is linked to selflessness and emptying. And then we see the expansion of the kingdom. So say with me, I am convinced that God answers prayer.
I am convinced that God answers prayer.
And then lastly, they believed that there was a glorious future, and the passages are there. You guys can see that, but actually in this text we see them delineating that God has a plan and a purpose, and it's marching toward that plan and that purpose. They were convinced that God was on the throne and He had a plan and a purpose, that He wasn't surprised by all of these actions. History was unfolding just exactly as God had planned. Please say with me, I am convinced that God is in control.
I am convinced that God is in control.
Of the future.
Of the future.
That made them bold. They were confident in God because, they could trust God. They had a certainty because they had the power. They had the authority. They had the Savior, the message. They had the body, they prayed, and they had the future. So, as we slide to the end, as we land this plane, beloved, where are you on that scale of boldness? Where would you say you are located on that boldness scale? How's it going? If we, the unstoppable 21st century church, are lacking boldness, how do we fill ourselves up with it? How do we get like a Benaniah? How do we get like a Peter and a John? Well, there's four things that we see in Scripture. One, we're to submit to the Holy Spirit. We're to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He hasn't given us a spirit of timidity, but of love and power and self-discipline. So if you're not bold, you're not filled with the Spirit. You're not walking in the Spirit. I'm not walking in the Spirit. Because He gives us a steely boldness to proclaim loudly. He who asks not, has not. Right? If you're not bold, you haven't been asking the Lord for it. Ask the Lord to make you bold, like a lion, like a charging lion. The righteous are bold like a lion. Peter and John were bold. Paul was bold. We as believers, it's impossible to live a victorious Christian life if we are not bold. It's impossible to fulfill the mission that Christ has given us if we are not bold. Paul asked for prayer from the church that they would pray that he would be bold. Ephesians 6:19. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. So pray for it. Ask others to pray for you as you give testimony. Thirdly, trust God to embolden you. Know that fear is a natural emotion. We all face that. Paul faced that, I'm sure. Daniel faced that, I'm sure. Esther faced that, I'm sure. Benaniah faced that. David, possibly. Hebrews 11. They accomplished God's will by trusting in Him. They did phenomenal things. I'll let you guys look at that. And then lastly, face your fears. Eat fear for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's the breakfast of champions. What do you mean by that, Kirk? You got to lean into your fear. Eat fear for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Gunter brought some special sweet treats here. None of them were fear fighters, but we got to eat that. When we were in Austria, we loved doing camps. We had to go into a farmer's place and say, hey, can we use your camp for your farmland for a week? He said, sure. So we had to dig our own latrines. Some of the young lads cut down the trees they weren't supposed to. Where were their leaders? They were supposed to be, but you had to set up camp. So all the campers come in, all these junior campers, and we sit down for the dinner for the first night. And guess what? The New York City of bees were there. It was hustling, bustling. The bees were in taxi driving all around. There were kids sitting down. At the beginning, they had a little bit of fear of these bees. What am I supposed to do with this bee? And the bees were swarming all around. Guess what? At the end of the week, those kids were eating bees for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. A bee, you know, the adults would come. What's going on? What, they're squashing bees, or they're playing with bees. I mean, the bees were afraid of them. They were eating fear for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Benaniah went into a pit on a snowy day. David picked up those stones and charged toward Goliath. Eat fear for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So lastly, Sam, we have an opportunity to maybe do that. You guys are seeing this acronym constantly, BLESS. That's the way one of the ways we do evangelism. Begin by praying for your friends or your neighbors. L stands for listen with care. That means you got to be close enough to hear what's going on in their life. So have conversation. Be involved in their life. Be involved to such an extent that you're even having coffee with them or eating lunch or dinner with them. That's a pretty intimate kind of a thing. You've made progress in your relationship. And then ask the Lord, how can we serve these friends, these family members in love? And then lastly, we're praying that God gives us opportunity to share our story of His story in our lives. I've ordered these excellent booklets. You've probably seen them, some of you. Lee Strobel is a journalist. He writes in a very clear and warm and winsome kind of way. He interviewed three experts on the case for Easter. He said, you know, there's a lot of folks out there that said, oh, Easter, the resurrection never happened. He interviewed a doctor. He interviews two other people there. But he gives a very clear and concise and convincing way to say, hey, you might consider this Jesus who rose from the dead. It affected the lives of the disciples, and it's also affected my life. So as we march closer to that Easter day, as we walk with Christ to the cross, I pray, I've ordered a book here for you guys to be praying about a person that you have been traveling with, to give them an opportunity, just another building block, another brick in the bridge of relationship to help them. But ask God for prayer. Ask God for boldness. Ask us as a church to pray for boldness as you speak forth that word, right? So it's impossible to live a victorious Christian life without boldness. It's impossible to be all that Christ wants us to be without boldness. We just look at the biblical models of that. The unstoppable church needs to be reminded of our power, of our authority, of our Savior, of prayer, of community, and of the future. I am convinced that God makes me bold as a lion. Can you say that with me? I am convinced
that God makes me bold as a lion.
I love that. Let's pray together. Father, you know the dust that we're made out of. You formed us in our mom's womb. You know all of the wonderful emotions that we experience. You know all of the emotions that we have. And one of them is fear. It's a good thing to have the fight, the fear or flight thing when we're in danger. But Lord, when we're your representatives, when you're your when we are your witnesses, we can't have that flight syndrome. We have to have the run to the roar syndrome. We need to be filled with you. We need to be beseeching you to give us a steely boldness in our life and in our witness, so that you're honored and glorified, and so that we are all that you would want us to be, because we want to glorify you. We want your name to be honored. We want your kingdom to come. In Jesus' name, amen.